Blog Talk Radio.
Say what?
Hey.
Say what?
Hey.
We got this.
Hey.
We got this.
Hey.
Every Monday night you lock with Real Hot and Fresh. You lock every Monday night. With the Real Hot and Fresh crew. Say what now? You got your Boise Fly. That's your girl Juice Jewel. Your girl Tori D. Smooth T is in the house. Say what? What you got, Jewel? What you got, Jewel?
Break it all down.
Keep it real hot, freaking fresh. So now we do. We got you. Yeah. We got you locked.
Hey.
On Monday night. You locked to real hot, freaking fresh. So now we do. What? All right, y'all. What's up? Welcome to the Keeping It Real Hot and Freaking Fresh Blog Talk Radio Show that is hosted live every Monday night. And now also, Jewel, you have to let me know if you can hear me, okay? Because, you know,
I got you. I can hear you today.
Okay, good. Now, you know how them bad receptions is. But as I was saying, everybody, so you're going to welcome to the show, keeping it real hot and fresh. You know how we do it live every Monday night. The call-in number is 646-200-3136. Tell all your friends, tell all your family, tell all your coworkers, you know what I'm saying, because they need to know how to keep it real hot and fresh every Monday night with the livest host on the internet. Now, y'all probably be like, yeah, so what makes y'all so live? Well, what makes us so live is we bring it to you real, real meaning we're going to bring you, the, you know, talk about those topics that people don't want to talk about. You know, for example, you know, people, they don't really want to talk about teen pregnancy. You know, they don't really want to talk about, you know, girls getting pregnant at 13 or 12 or 14. They don't want to talk about that. I mean, you know, you see what happened. You know, you might hear it happen, but then they want to sweep it under the rug. No, let's talk about it. We know what's going on. You know, why are so many, you know, girls getting pregnant at this young age? We're going to go there. Hot, well, we keep it hot because we bring
hot.
You hot. Yes, sir, we bring
hot.
You know what I'm saying? We bring you, you know what I'm saying, what's going on now as far as politics, you know what is Obama doing, what is he not doing, you know, what is, who is Madonna marrying lately, you know, who's having a baby. You know, we bring you the hot topics, you know what I'm saying? And, of course, fresh, we bring you what's new, you know,
that's
what's
right.
Going on, is that exactly, what's going on at this exact moment. And to help us out on that, we have our girl, Miss Jewel. She brings you Fresh Off the Plate every Monday night in her segment, Fresh Off the Plate, presented by your girl, Miss Jewel. So, everybody, again, thank you for tuning in tonight. We have a very special show for you tonight, so we definitely want to get started because we don't want to waste any time. So tonight things are going to be a little bit switched around a little bit. Our girl Tori D, she's not present with us tonight. So what we're going to do is we don't have a weekly inspiration for you tonight, but we are going to go ahead and jump into our Fresh Off the Plate. So we're going to go ahead and keep it fresh for you real quick and right off the start. With our girl, Miss Jewel. So this is your Fresh Off the Plate presented by your girl, Miss Jewel.
Hi, everybody. It's Miss Jewel bringing you your weekly dose of juice fresh off the plate. For the first one, did Nicki Minaj copy Lil Kim's style? Really? I think so, too. June 23rd, Lil Kim was on the Ed Lover Morning Show talking about how disappointed she was in Sean Diddy Combs. Lil Kim thinks Nicki Minaj is copying her style, and she expressed this to Diddy, but Diddy denies it. Then she went on to explain that he's like a brother to her and that he's always given her positive advice, and this is why she's disappointed in him. And I don't know. I don't know how he doesn't see it, but I see it. You see it?
I see it.
Diddy's response to her was that she never tried to copy her and that she never said anything bad against her. But, I mean, it's undeniable. It's absolutely undeniable that there's a lot of Lil' Kim style in Nicki Minaj.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, like, he really, I don't know. I think I would have reason to be disappointed if I was Lil' Kim, too. And also, did you guys see the BET 2010 Music Awards?
No.
Tell us about it. No.
Well, everybody's talking about Chris Brown's tribute to Michael Jackson performance. Now, that was amazing that we have at least one person out there in the world that can do Michael Jackson dance moves, because nobody could do it better. But you could really see Chris Brown went all out into that performance. I mean, the really appealing part was when Chris Brown choked up singing The Man in the Mirror. I mean, like, the next thing you know, he was sobbing on stage. I mean, like, waterworks, heaving and all that. I mean, we haven't really seen a Chris Brown performance on BET ever since the news broke about the Rihanna disgrace. But this was touching almost. This was almost, for a minute there, it's under speculation because nobody knows really if it was a publicity stunt or if he really did get choked up, you know?
Right.
But anyway, also, Diddy had a performance with Nicki Minaj. Now, I know he mad because he went ahead and for 2 minutes of his performance, he got lost in the smoke. I don't know what happened. There was like some kind of technical difficulties where you could no longer see Diddy and the crew for about 2 minutes of the performance. And you know those performances are short. You know he's mad. Then also, okay. Kanye's Horus chain. That was a big deal because the chain was the biggest chain ever. I mean, like the pendant alone could easily be the size of the head of a large dog. And also then Alicia Keys did a really great performance, and y'all know she's pregnant, right?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, have you seen her perform?
No.
I mean, like, I've seen her perform a couple of times, and she's crazy on that piano, but I've never really seen her get on top of it and roll around and stuff like that. Now that she's pregnant, she's on top of the piano, she's rolling around and stuff. I don't understand. But, you know, more power to her if that's what she wants to do. You know? Yeah. The word on the streets, the new Cleopatra movie is coming out, and Cleopatra is being played by Angelina Jolie. Why? I don't know. Does anybody know?
Mm-hmm. Cleopatra, Angelina Jolie? What kind of mess is that?
Exactly. I mean, like, why couldn't they get Jada or something?
Something. You know, exactly.
I know. I mean, like, why they have to get her? Why, you know, well, whatever. But anyway, now there are two new videos gone viral that you guys are not going to believe. There is one video called Surra de Bunda by Las Tequilas Du Funk, and you guys have got to look this up. This is so crazy. It is a new dance that has taken Brazil by storm that has now hit the U.S., and people are just smacking booties everywhere to this. I don't know why, but you guys got to check this out. It's crazy.
Wow.
And that was Miss Jules with your Fresh Off the Plate.
That's what it is, y'all. Your Fresh Off the Plate by Miss Jules. Miss Jules. Okay, just to let everybody know that tonight, we do want everybody to know that our Blog Talk Radio chat room is open. So if you do want to log into chat, definitely do so, because that is open. And you can get into chat by logging into www.blogtalkradio.com/SwapEast. And Swap East is S as in snake, WOP as in Paul, EAS as in snake, T as in Tom. So again, that's blogtalkradio.com/SwapEast. And also, we do have our Facebook page open, so if you want to leave us comments or questions there during the show, feel free to do so. You can find that by facebook.com/realhotfresh. And Twitter and MySpace, you can also leave comments and questions there as well. So we're going to keep this show, moving, because that's how we do on Monday night. And we're going to go ahead and get into a selection by one of our featured artists. But whenever we return, we're going to have your 10 ways you know you ghetto for tonight. We're going to go ahead and get the ghettos out of the way. But for right now, we're going to have a selection by one of our featured artists that we've had on our show in the past. His name is James Flames, and this song is entitled It's You.
My whole life I've been looking for the right one, and I could swear that I never was gonna find one. And then you came around and you put it down, and that's when I knew that girl is fair, fair. Cause baby, it's you, 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 it's you. Yeah, baby, it's you, it's you. Knows that it's me, man. So amazing how she look off in that G-string. Now why would I even quit? Lose a good thing and leave you for some other chick? Hell no, you know I'm down for the long haul. We in the islands with Sean Kingston and Sean Paul. She off that tall wall, got her sitting sideways just like she bound to fall. Know what I'm saying, y'all? I know she feeling that, and yeah, she like my swag. Oh yeah, I'm feeling that, and digging on her swag. She don't even need me, I'm needing only her. She know she like that, I say I'm looking her. Others, they get the fur, cause they ain't on no level. You and my trusted big girl, so welcome to my shuttle. We about to blast off, NASA says it is a go. So lay back, hit the Marley, and enjoy the show.
Life, I've been looking for the right one, and I could swear that I never was gonna find one. And then you came around, and you put it down. And that's when I knew that girl is fan fan. Cause baby, it's you, it's you, it's you.
Never be no one else. You so fine, it's a crime, so don't hurt yourself. But you don't know me to tell you that. Came into my life, I told them others it's a wrap. I told them they can step, I told them it's you. Your love's infectious with no cure like the swine flu. And I'm contaminated, I got them others hating. Imagine in my face all of the guys they're dating. But it's just me and you, or maybe you and I. Let's put them all in and say hi, haters from the sky. Hey baby, you the best I ever had. And that's from flames, you don't need Drake to tell you that. And you know I'm out the stratosphere. Call my sex my quill, cause after that you sleeping here. Yeah, and she never ever done me wrong. Damn, I think she like me, yeah, she got me on the ringtone.
I've been looking for the right one, and I could swear that I never was gonna find one. And then you came around, and you put it down. And that's when I knew that girl is fan fan. Cause baby, it's you, it's you.
And if you don't know it's her, bring this track back. Let her know how you feel.
That's right, everybody. It's you, it's you. That was James Flames, and that song was entitled It's You. Tonight, everybody, we are taking a look back in history. We're going to be talking about someone very historic. His name is John Newton Templeton. We're going to be talking about his trials, tribulations, and achievements. If you are wondering who is John Newton Templeton, then be sure to stay tuned throughout the whole show, because we will be talking more about him. And to help us out, we will have a special guest tonight that will also be helping us, talk about his life as well. But right now, everybody, we're going to go ahead and keep it real hot and fresh with your 10 ways you know you get. So, Miss Jules, is you ready?
Ready.
All right, y'all, this is your 10 ways you know you get for tonight. All right, number 10. Yes, the National 4th of July holiday is called Independence Day, but you ghetto if you a single independent baby mama and you think this is your day, okay? No. Yes, it's Independence Day, but it's not your day, all right? Number 9. window shopping is not ghetto, but if you window shopping with the attempt to purchase and you don't, you ghetto. Don't you hate that? Like, have you ever seen somebody, like, no, I'm serious, like, they just grab stuff around the store, you know, and then they go up to the counter, you know, here you are thinking that they're about to purchase this, and they're like, oh, no, I'm not getting this today. I'm going to see how much it is for whenever I do get some money. Waste of time. Number eight.
I know.
Number eight. You know you ghetto if you adding water to mustard to make it stretch. Just throw it away. Buy some more, y'all. Talk on that. Number seven. You know you ghetto if you are completely out of breath from killing flies in your house. Mm-hmm. Keep the door shut in the summertime. Number six. You might have a problem if your guests can never find a clean seat in your house due to all the bat droppings.
Oh,
now, for one thing, why do you have bats in your house?
House.
Yeah. Number five, you know you ghetto if every time you start a new job, you find something wrong. That's not like me. Okay. Well, I don't find stuff wrong. I believe the wrong finds me, so I just got to retaliate. Number four, you might be too hood if you cruising around your hood in your minivan with the side door open in the summertime. Now, I know it's hot, y'all. Yeah, I know it's hot, but come on. Number three, stop being in denial. You know your wide duck feet will not fit into a petite and narrow shoe. Don't you hate folks like that? They got wide feet, but trying to get in a little shoe.
No. Oh, no.
Number two, you know you ghetto if you hanging a shower curtain in your living room as curtains. And number one, you know you ghetto if you straight up go in your job and quit on the spot. Why? Because you are now 62 and you can start drawing that Social Security. All right, y'all. All right, y'all. That was your 10 ways you know you ghetto for tonight. So what we're going to do is we're actually going to go into a little break. And when we come back, we are going to start our show on John Newton Templeton.
It should not come as a surprise to anybody that escorts around the country are tuned in to how the media cover our work and our lives. It may, however, come as a surprise to some that sex workers in many sectors have something to say about it. They have insight, they have analysis, and they have outrage. Bound Not Gag is our way of responding to the injustice and hypocrisy that keeps sex workers' voices muted and faces hidden. Sex workers may be in hiding, but they refuse to be silent. At Bound Not Gag, you will get an inside look at the true inner workings of this mysterious business. The Desiree Alliance is a proud sponsor of this project. Remember, www.boundnotgagged.com.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for keeping it real hot and fresh with your boy Z Fly and your girl Miss Jules. And tonight we will be discussing the trials, tribulations, and achievements of John Newton Templeton. Now, for those of you who may not be familiar with who Mr. Templeton is, let me give you a little bit of feedback. Okay, so Mr. Templeton, John Templeton, he was the first African American in Ohio to earn a college degree. He was born on the plantation in South Carolina owned by Colonel John Ming. Ming freed Templeton's family in 1813, and then they moved to Adams County, Ohio with Colonel Ming. With the aid and encouragement of Reverend Robert Wilson, president of Ohio University, Templeton enrolled at the university in 1824. It is noteworthy that Ohio University, unlike many institutions of higher education at this time, had no restrictive clauses pertaining to race. Any male youth who qualified for acceptance was admitted. While working his way through college, Templeton maintained a superior academic record and was an especially active member of the Athenian Literary Society. So, tonight we will be speaking with Mr. Sheldon Best, who portrayed Mr. Templeton's life in the off-Broadway play entitled Freed, which was held in the 59th East Theater in New York City. So it is me and Ms. Jules' honor to welcome to the show Mr. Sheldon Best. Welcome, Sheldon.
Hi, how you doing?
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well.
That's great.
Oh my gosh.
We want to thank you so much for being on our show tonight. We hope that you're doing well.
I am. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No problem. So, Sheldon, so I guess let's just kind of start off, you know, to give, you know, our listeners who, tell us a little bit about Sheldon. Who are you? Tell us a little bit about you.
I'm a Brooklyn born and raised native, and I grew up in the Flatbush area, Flatbush Midwood Flatlands area, Brooklyn. I went to Midwood High School and graduated, went to Brandeis University, and majored in English and American Literature and Theater Arts, and I graduated a few years ago and came back home and to New York and started trying to get work here in the city. I was also working in Boston while I was up there, doing shows in Boston and doing shows here, going back and forth. The life of an actor is not exactly in one place. So,
wow.
So I've been doing shows here and there, and was fortunate enough to and blessed enough to be cast in this play, which used to be called Free Man of Color, which we did at Stony Point, New York, a few months ago in October. And it did really well over there, and people really wanted to see it come into the city. And lo and behold, it did. And so here we are at 59 and 69th Street Theaters until this Saturday night. We've been
wow.
Open 11th, so.
That's really good. So I guess, so when in your life did you know that you wanted to become an actor?
I suppose I knew when I was very young. I did church shows and things like that. But I didn't know that I wanted to do it professionally until I got to college. I did some shows my last 2 years of high school, but I didn't really know that I wanted to do it professionally. In college, I started doing more shows and taking some theater classes. Eventually, declared a theater major. And I realized that this is what I want to do and that I'll try it. And if it doesn't work, I'll do something else. But at least, you know, I can say that I tried and not have that lingering feeling of regret that I never went after something that I really love to do. So I tried it, and so far it's been good to me. So can't complain.
Exactly. Wow. Okay, so
yeah.
It's very good. So I guess now let's move into the play, because I actually went and saw the play now. Ms. Jules, I've been telling Ms. Jules all about the play, you know, how intense I was. You know, I'm just sitting there, you know, on my seat, like, I mean, I don't even remember blinking throughout the play.
Wow.
That's how good it was. So I kind of gave kind of an introduction of, you know, who John Newton Templeton is. You know, I kind of talked about his, you know, his college. Life, but tell us a little bit more about your character. Who is John Newton Templeton? You know, tell us a little bit more about, you know, I guess his earlier life.
I suppose earlier, in terms of before the play started, I there's not much that I found in my research before he went to college about his life. And in the world of the play, though, you know, he starts off as a young 17, 18-year-old college kid who is bright-eyed and naive and wants to. No, I shouldn't say naive, but he's green. He's green around the edges, and he wants to. He really wants to learn and get an education, and he wants to prove the world that black people are just as good as white people, and that they can achieve anything that white people can achieve if they're given the chance. So he's. Very much a young man who is seeking to step into his own and to prove himself and to become his own man, and he grows and matures throughout the play, and starts to make his own decisions, and it becomes less about proving to other people who he is and about achieving for himself the things that he needs to achieve and coming and making his own decisions as his own man.
Wow. So now I remember looking at you. I mean, you was really intense. So how was it, you know, playing such a huge role such as this? You know, how do you kind of, I guess, kind of prepare yourself or, you know, to really stay in the character and not, you know, kind of go off or, you know, how do you prepare yourself?
Well, I suppose practice rehearsals, you know, help, and the direction of Joe Brancato you know, all these things, and also the training that you get through doing other shows and through taking classes at Brandeis University. All these things, all of my experience and my education in the theater help with that. And preparing for the role, you do your research, and then there's the magic of theater that I feel like a painter doesn't know how to necessarily explain how they make the picture that they see in their head, but they just it happens, and there's a certain, I think, there's a certain thing that can't necessarily be put into words that happens there, which is what makes art, and I think that something similar happens with actors, where I don't know necessarily how to explain very articulately how to do how it happens, but through the rehearsal process, I would say a lot of that gets refined, and in terms of staying in character, there's a lot of focus. You know, it takes a lot of focus, especially when live, when things that can only happen during live theater happen, you know, you just have to stay focused.
Right. Now, Ms. Jules, I'm going to tell you, if you have a question, you better jump in, because I will just run my mouth. Did you have any questions, Ms. Jules?
Sure, I do. I mean, how difficult was it for you to snap into character?
I don't know if I think because I number one got the opportunity to do this show in October up at the Penguin Repertory Theater, and I had 2.5 weeks of rehearsal then, and this time before we mounted this production, I had 2 weeks of rehearsal then. It becomes easier and easier, you know. It's not, but it's not necessarily like a snap into it, you know. You come into the theater, you get dressed, you're getting, you know, you're preparing for the show before you step onto the stage. So whether it's necessarily difficult to snap into a role, I don't know, but I think that definitely having the opportunity to rehearse a show and to have done the show before definitely helped make it a lot easier.
Wow.
Okay.
4 weeks.
And we seem to have a caller. Call us from the 919 area code. You're keeping it real hot and fresh. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. It's Derek.
Oh, hey Derek. How are you doing? Did you have a question? You have a question or comment?
I do. I have sort of a two-part question for Mr. Vest. I'm very familiar with Mr. Templeton's story. And just for the record, he was the fourth African American to graduate from university in this country, first in the state of Ohio.
First from the Midwest, from the University of Ohio, but he was the fourth in the country in general, yes.
The fourth in the country, that's correct, but the first from that territory, because it wasn't even, at that time it was a whole different situation.
Yes.
So
what
I'd like to ask you, Mr. Messi, as a young African American male and as an actor, what is it that you took from this performance? And the part two of this question is, what is it that you hope to pass on to the audience, and especially young African American men?
What I take from the performance is the journey from a young man who is not necessarily sure of himself to a mature man who is able to make his own decisions. That's what I take from the story, that life is about learning and coming into your own and making your own decisions as a man, especially, you know, to be able to make your own decisions as a young black man. That's something that our forefathers fought and died for. So I think to value that. And the thing that I want to pass on, I think, is this story. The story is such a powerful story about John Newton Templeton, and he's an extraordinary man, and not one that people know about. You know, admittedly, before I read the play, before I was being considered for the role, I hadn't heard about him. So it was a learning experience for me doing the show.
Wow.
Sorry, go ahead.
How difficult was portraying the transitions of your character? You know, the life transitions. How difficult was that?
I think it was a challenge to because one of the pitfalls, I think, when playing a historical figure is to make them kind of to put them up on a pedestal and to make them perfect. And I think one of the things that I had to grapple with in my rehearsal process was that he was just as human as we all are, and he ate and he went to the bathroom just the same way that we do, and he was human. He made mistakes, and I think that was the most challenging thing, probably, was to make sure that he was someone that people could connect to and not go, oh, this guy is so perfect and self-righteous, but to go that this is a real person in front of me, and he's a real person who's coming into his own.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah.
Gary, do you have a second question for Mr. Biff?
No.
Is the caller still there? I guess not. Caller, are you still with us? Okay, we must have lost the caller. But that is very amazing. Also, who are the other characters that is in this play?
The other characters in the play are Reverend Robert Wilson, who's played by Christopher McCann, and his wife, Jane Wilson, who's played by Emma O'Donnell, two very superb actors. And Reverend Wilson was the president of the university, and he is the one that, as you said when you were talking about John Newton Templeton's history, he's the one that brought me to the university, and I actually, John, historically, he lived in their home. And so that's where the play takes place, in the home of Robert and Jane Wilson. He wasn't allowed to live in the edifice with the other students on campus. So the story of throughout the story of the play, it goes very much between John's interactions with Roland and John's interactions with the wife, and what he learns from both the Reverend and his wife while living in the house and dealing with the. Dealing basically with his circumstances in the house and in the town.
Exactly. I think we have our caller back that we lost. Derek, is this Derek?
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's my service. What can I say? I live in the country.
Okay, welcome back to the show. Did you have a second question for Mr. Bear?
Yeah, I'm curious to know what, because I understand that this is just a three-person cast, am I correct?
This was what? I'm having trouble hearing you.
How many people are in the cast? Was this a three-person cast?
Yes, it's a three-person cast. The other two people in the cast I was just saying were Reverend Wilson and his wife. Reverend Wilson, the president of the university, and his wife, Jane Wilson.
Right, and that was with, I believe, Emma O'Donnell and Christopher McCann. Is that correct?
Yes.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on what it was like to work with them two and how the a little bit more of the interactions between the three characters and what the storyline is?
Sure.
And what period of his life does it cover? Because, he started school very young as a teenager, so what period of his life is covered?
What period in his life is covered? The period in his life covered is between ages 18 and 22, while he is in the university. It's the 4 years that he's in the university.
So up until 1828 or something?
Yes, it's between 1824 and 1828 that the play takes place. And working with Emma O'Donnell and Christopher McCann has been an absolute pleasure. They're both supremely talented actors that are so giving and generous in their work. So it's been such a blessing to be able to work with these two actors. And the interactions that John has with Jane and the Reverend are very testing, I should say, to say the least. The scenes go back between John and Jane and between John and the Reverend. And in every scene with Jane, she challenges him. And in every scene with the Reverend, he's trying to find a solution. And he comes to see that each character is dealing with their own burdens of what it means to be free in that society. None of the characters really are free. They each have their own restrictions, and they can't necessarily do everything that they would want to do because of society's restrictions on them. And the restrictions on each character, for the president of the university, for his wife, and for John Newton Templeton, they're all different, but they're all valid.
Oh, wow.
Cool. And how long does it run until?
We started playing June 11th, and we actually closed this Saturday, unfortunately, July 3rd. And we have performances tomorrow, which is Tuesday, and Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. We have performances Thursday and Friday at 8 o'clock p.m. And we have two shows on Saturday at 2 p.m. and at 8 p.m.
And that is here in New York City, people. So be sure to get there and check out the play. It's very amazing. But, you know, but one thing. What was that?
What theater? I mean, exactly where is it
going? The venue is at 59 East 59th Theaters, which is on 59 East 59th Street. And it is between Park Avenue and Madison Avenue in Manhattan. You can take the 456 or the NR, no more W, to 59th Street. And the tickets are, full price tickets are $35, so, you know, very affordable in terms of theater these days.
Yeah.
And you can purchase tickets at 59e59.org, or you can go to ticketcentral.com, or you can call the theater at, I'm not sure the number offhand, but I can tell you in 2 seconds, it is 212-735-5959.
All right. Now, one question that I do have for you, Sheldon, is, like, you know, whenever you, you know, was playing in the play, is there maybe a specific scene or, you know, area within the play that may stick out in your mind more than any other part?
I certainly have favorite parts of the show, favorite scenes in the show, but without wanting to give away too much, because you know, people should see the show, I'll just say that there's a scene at the end of the play which is extremely moving and powerful and gripping and fun, although it's exhausting and emotional.
Yes, it is. I remember it. All right, but now what we're going to do is we're going to move into kind of like question and answer, you know, just to see where your thoughts at. So what we're going to do is kind of branch off from the play in terms of, you know, discrimination, you know, versus today. So Sheldon, in today's world, your thoughts, your opinion, do you think that discrimination, you know, still exists very heavy today as compared to back then?
You know, I think that discrimination still exists today. Whether it exists as heavily, I don't know. Whether it exists as obviously is probably the real question there, because I think it always exists, but whether or not people are aware of it is the question, because people are much more subtle about their views nowadays, and people are not necessarily outward in their racism. They're not they don't necessarily spit the N-word at someone. They may have certain views, so it may not be as obvious, but I think that certainly people have the same views that they had back then, but at the same time, people have come such a long way. So I think we're heading in the right direction, but we still got a long way to go.
Exactly.
I kind of agree with them. I think that, I mean, as long as there are two people left on the planet, there will be discrimination, because somebody will always have something against somebody else. I mean, discrimination will always exist in some form or another. It may not always be racial. It may not be homophobic. It may not be this. I mean, you know, there is discrimination down the pike that we haven't even thought about yet. So discrimination in some form or another will always exist. I think what's important is how we deal with it as individuals. But, you know, that's just me. I'm not the smartest bulb on the tree.
Mm-hmm.
I do have one question, though, for your guest. As he says, as of Saturday, that's his final performance, and he'll be unemployed. I'm pretty sure Sunday he'll sleep. So what's in store for Mr. S? Come Monday morning. What's his next project? Anything we can look forward to?
My next project is catching up on sleep, like you said. And after that, I'm going to be working. I'm going to be working with Labyrinth Theater Company. I did a show with them last month, And I'm going to be going up and working on going up with their intensive for a couple of days upstate New York, and working on a few some new works. I don't have all the details with that, but I'm going to be working on some new plays with them, or a new play. I really don't know what it is, but I'm also going to be auditioning for more work and taking somewhat of a break if I'm allowed. If I get more work, I'm happy to pick it up. But I've been working pretty much consistently, especially over the last since March. I've been working almost without a break. So it's been a great blessing. I've been very very blessed to have so much consistent work and good work. And I'm looking forward to getting more good work and more consistent work, but I'm also looking for a few days to sleep.
I know that's right. Ms. Jules, do you have any more, what questions do you have?
Well, my question is, how do you get the courage to get out there and perform so well in front of all those people?
And then also, I'm going to add on to that, Sheldon, with that question too. Also, what advice would you have for, you know, new actors that are trying to get into acting business? What, you know, advice would you have for them as well?
How do I get the courage to do it? I think that you have to be a little crazy. Honestly, I mean, how many other people? I mean, well, you work in radio, so you know. How many other jobs are there out there where you put your work out there in front of other people and people can just come up to you and just say, that was awful. I hated that. it takes a certain
That's
loop,
true.
I think.
Yeah.
You know, there's got to be something wrong with me. But, you know, I love it. And I think that the passion that's there for it That's what gives me the courage to do it is you know, the love for it and the need to do it. And I can't see myself not doing it is what makes me do it.
That's amazing.
And so in that light, the advice that I would give for new or young actors is if you have that passion, go for it. Go for it and do it. And you're not necessarily going to always have work, but – always keep, I like to say always keep the whistle wet or always keep the engine running.
Yeah.
You know, get together with some other actors, with some friends of yours, and have dinner and have a play and sit around a table or sit, you know, in a living room and read a play together. And everyone just pick a different part and do some funny voice or just do something. Just do it in some way or another. It doesn't have to be an actual production in front of an audience, but to keep the juices flowing, I think, is very important.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's talent. That's so
much. And I think that is really good advice because, you know, there are so many people, you know, who wants to get into entertainment, you know, as far as acting, singing, or whatever. But a lot of times, you know, they have all these dreams, but they just don't know, you know, where to start. And then see, kind of like what you said, you know, like just sitting with friends and, you know, just keeping busy. To some people, they may think, you know, that's not achieving anything, but really it is, because the more work you do, you know, the better you're getting, you know, the more routine that you're getting. So that was really good advice. Also, too,
well,
I actually found. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I can interject there really quick. I totally agree with that. And I think the question is on that thing is, what do you want to do? Do you want to be a star or do you want to act?
Yeah.
Because you know. Actors can act anywhere. And Zach, you know me. I mean, I've got a theater degree. I've got a dance degree. I know what I'm talking about here. If you want to act, then you can act anywhere. You can do it in community theater. You can do it on the street corner. You can, if it's your passion, you're going to do it. And, you know, there are people out there that are for the money. But, I mean, if you're looking to make money, acting is not your first profession, trust me. I know managers at McDonald's that make more than most actors I know. So people do it because they love it. It's a passion. It's something that you do because you can't do anything else. I mean, if you don't do it, you feel like, you know, you're lost. So I understand where he's talking about coming from that point of view.
Okay. What I want to do is I actually want to read something because I thought this was very interesting. It was actually on John Newton Templeton. And it was talking about his Ohio University. It basically says the impact John Newton Templeton's presence here at Ohio University is shown each time a student of color earns a college degree, each time a student receives a scholarship or leadership award in his time, each time there is a student project or protest in the name of social or racial justice, each time a new student leader of color emerges, and each time an alumnus seeks to promote education as the hope of the race. And then also said that we must never forget that John Newton Templeton did it first. And you know, and I think that's really important, because you know, like, as you know, in today's world, you know, we got some technology, we got this going on, we got five jobs, we got college, whatever. Sometimes I mean, a lot of people do forget, you know, how things got started. You know, you know, people, they do forget, you know, why certain races are free or why we have all this freedom. So I would like to always remind people to, it really is to very, very important to go back in history to know these things. Because, you know, some people, you know, they're like, John Newton Templeton, okay, you know, who is that? But, you know, if it wasn't for him, a lot of things, you know what I'm saying? So I thought that was very important, you know, reading that. You know, it just kind of reminded me that, you know, I mean, I don't know, just a light bulb went off. So that sounds crazy. Is that crazy?
No. I think it's easy to put everything in the back of your mind, and then sometimes you forget to remember to honor the past and honor, you know, those that gave us the rights that we have today. I mean, like, had it not been for Templeton, I mean, we probably still wouldn't be able to go to college.
Exactly.
You know, like, had it not been for him, we'd probably never have another, you know, black principal. You know, who would ever be the first if it were not him, you know? So it's really easy to forget that, you know, because we get so wrapped up in the current and the modern. What do you guys think about that?
As far as the current and the modern?
Yeah. Like, you know, there's so many things going on, and there's so many, you know, like, we have the web and we have our phones and we have all these things. It's really easy to get so wrapped up in the now and, you know, everything that's going on in videos and movies and, you know, things like that. It's easy to get wrapped up in things like that and forget, you know, to look up history every now and then.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I definitely agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, you're keeping it real hot and fresh with Z-Fly and Ms. Jewel. And we definitely want to thank our special guest tonight, Sheldon Best. So if you want to check out Sheldon, be sure to check out him in the play Freed, which is going on now until July 3rd. And again, information on how to get tickets, you can call. Sheldon, do you have that number? I actually have a different number. What was the number?
I have probably the number that you have, too. 212-279-4200. Is that the one you have?
Exactly. And that is
279-4200.
Yes, and that is here in New York City, and that is at 59 East 59th Street between Park and Madison. And, again, it is going on now until July 3rd, and you can go online to www.ticketcentral.com to find out more information. And we definitely want to thank our guests. And Sheldon, do you have any more, I guess, how people can find you, any websites or emails, how people can get in touch with you with questions or comments?
I think that I'm always free to chat with people after the show if they come see the show. And that's probably the best way to contact me.
Okay, great. Well, everybody, go out and see Free now in theaters until July 3rd. And this has been Keeping It Real Hot and Fresh. And again, Sheldon, we want to thank you so much for joining us tonight.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
All right. You have a good night.
You too.
Okay, everybody. So we're going to take a little break, and we're going to go into a musical with our Basic. Now, last week, if you listen to Basic, he has some cool music, right? You remember that visual?
He sure has, dude. No, he has some great music, doesn't he?
Yes, he did. He has some very good music. So what we're going to do is we're going to go into a selection with Basic, and then when we get back, we're going to have our final thoughts, and then y'all know how we do after that. We wrap this thing up. So this is Basic with Beethoven. Miss Jules, I love that last part.
Wasn't that great? I love when they start to go crazy with the keyboard. That's awesome, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, you know, everybody, that was Basic. Yes, Basic. That was his song or his instrumental called Beethoven. And also, I'm so glad that I played it because it just popped in my mind that actually, if you were tuned in last week, you know that we were supposed to do an interview with Basic, and unfortunately he never showed, but he did email us. And what happened was he was actually in a car accident.
Oh my God.
Yes. Yes. He's okay. However, he did have a injury to his hand. But however, I think he is out of the hospital now. But he has rescheduled, you know, to be on our show later in July. So definitely look forward to that. And then we will play his selections and hopefully maybe some more of his selections again. And then he'll be able to tell us, you know, the thought and process all behind his instrumental. But yes, so basically he was in a car accident last weekend. Last week. I was, boy. Whenever I got an email, I was like, oh, wow. But he is okay. But everybody, thank you. Yeah, but everybody, thank you for tuning in tonight. Keeping it real hot and fresh. As you know, we were talking about the life and achievements of John Newton Templeton, and we were talking about Sheldon Best, but he actually is portraying Mr. Templeton in the play Freed, which is in New York City now until July the 3rd, and to get more information, definitely call 212-279-4200. So what we're going to do is we're 5 minutes down to the show. I'm going to give our final thoughts. So I guess, Ms. Jules, not actually our final thoughts on the play, but, you know, just our final thoughts in general, because, you know, like me and you, I thought that was really good because, you know, I know I do. You know, like in today's society, you know, I do forget the past. You know what I'm saying? Like whenever Martin Luther King Day, you know, it's kind of sad that, you know, that we kind of only celebrate him, you know, in that one month. However, you know, there are streets and all kinds of stuff named after him. But, you know, just so many people, Rosa Parks, you know, they really made a difference in this life. And, you know, day by day, people take it for granted and people really – they're not really thankful for it. I mean, they're not. Yeah. They're not thankful. I mean,
I don't think it's that they're not.
Right, thankful. They're not thankful. Right.
I don't think it's that they're not thankful. It's just an aloofness about
there
that
you
it
go.
Ever
That's
happened.
Yeah.
You know, just not a nonchalance, but just, you know, just okay, yeah, it existed. But it's just at the end of people's minds, you know, like when we see all these, like, you know, like, we see, like, these people with their pants underneath their booties. You know, we really forget that people actually had to fight for the right to go out with new pants, period. You know, fight for the right to go to the mall. Fight for the right to own a phone. Fight for the right to read. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, people really don't remember that there was a time where none of those things were. Hey, there was a time where interracial marriages was illegal.
Yeah, I remember that. I think.
There was
I remember hearing about it.
Yeah, I remember reading about it. There was a time where interracial marriage was illegal. There was a time where a woman wearing a sandal, you might as well have been a stripper. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, all these things. We really have ancestors that really fought for our rights and really have impacted us all.
Exactly. That's why, like, for me, I really hate it whenever I hear, like, you know, young kids, you know, dropping out of school and then they don't go to college. And, I mean, these days they're actually handing you the money to go to college. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're actually handing you the money to go to college. I mean, education is really means a lot. Now, one thing I don't like, though, how, like, jobs, especially jobs, how, you know, they use education to, like, you know, well, you need this much degree to get, you know what I'm saying, to get the job. Now, I don't like that because, you know, like, some people are really smart. And, you know, like, some people, now, I'm not saying, like, the people who just don't want to go to college, but, like, those people who you know, might want to go to college, but, you know, they have a busy lifestyle, you know what I'm saying? And then, like, you want a good job, and then, like, they don't want to give it to you. But they're like, oh, well, you need a bachelor's degree. I don't like that. Right.
I know. I mean, like, there are people out there, aren't they? I mean, like, I kid you not. There are people out there that have 20 years of experience in something, and they still won't get a job because of a bachelor's degree.
I know.
They have 20 years of experience.
20 years.
Crazy?
I mean, it is crazy. It's sad that it is. It's sad that that 20 experience don't amount to anything. Why? Because they want that piece of paper saying, I got a degree. You know, that's so cool.
I know.
Wow. But anyway. All right, but everybody, we want to thank you again for tuning in to Keeping It Real Hot and Fresh. Definitely keep it real hot and fresh this week because, you know how we do. We're going to have a fresh plate, fresh off the plate. We're going to have some new 10 ways you know you get up. And we're going to have a whole new real topic for you. So this is your boy Z-Fly signing off with my co-host, Ms. Jewel. And we is out of here, and we are going to leave you with Maintain Beautiful Mind. We'll see you next week.
Your lyrics maintain and copyright them. As you know, fake error. Plus, sucking rappers and fighters. Speaking to fake motherfuckers, don't acknowledge them at all. Because deep down, they want to see you fall. And keep your real people close. And don't you ever let them go. The ones that got your back, filthy, rich, or dead. Bro, keep the circle tight. Loyalty comes first. It's very necessary. Your money is secondary. Respect is a must. So is honor and trust. Because without it, the scavengers are heavy surrounded. And it's a conquer and destroy game. Motherfuckers better understand it when you talk. It's not a paranoid thing, nah. It's a setup. See, the object is to fuck your head up. So every move you make is all messed up. The pimps see well, the money keeps growing. The hoes keep hoeing, and they're not even knowing what's going on. It's colder than the Midwest winter in December. I can't even recall or remember seeing anything colder than this. I get pissed when I go deep into the thought about how wrong this is. And it's just not fair, and most are just not aware. But I stare at the picture, seeing this so clear that it scares me. I won't lie, I get chills up my spine every time I think about how it's real and not fake a bit. It's hard to take this shit. See, knowing so much got me thinking this ain't as sick. But on point, just like the tip of attack. And if I ain't spitting the facts, then I ain't ripping this track. They started pimping me, so I started pimping them back. My dimension is demented, homeboy, and it's as simple as that. See, they don't give a f if the way I'm living is whack. That's why I'm giving them hell and never giving them slack. Wanna see a beautiful mind? I'll show you beautiful mind. Just give me 45 minutes of studio time. Tell the phony rappers in the booth to move to the side. They ain't saying shit in their rhymes, tuning the mind. Wanna see a beautiful mind? I'll show you beautiful.